Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Rouge Rugby Podcast, where we talk about real Canadian rugby. I'm Shu Hardy, joined, as always, by Derek Brissett. Derek, first of all, happy birthday. It was your birthday yesterday.
It was.
How did you celebrate the occasion?
Yeah, we went to the Raptors game. Me and my girlfriend got me some Raptors tickets, so we got to see the Raptors play the Brooklyn Nets in one of the finest displays of basketball ability that I have ever had the displeasure of witnessing. I'm pretty confident that the Raptors are like one or two injuries away from being like me and you might have to play and considering they shot like under 20% from the three-point line, I think it like we might not be a complete downgrade either. So, I mean, like, I hope you go get the basketball shoes on, because we might have to change this up on the podcast. So I mean, the Raptors unfortunately did lose. Their injury situation is real rough right now. Good news is me and my buddy Jonte Porter hit all our parlays last night, so it still worked out well for me anyways. But it's it was a good time. It was a good time. Thanks to everybody that sent over some birthday wishes. It was a lot of fun. We also got to celebrate our 200th episode. So my birthday wasn't the only big occasion over this past weekend, too.
Yeah, that interview with Mitch Richardson marked the 200th episode of Le Rouge Rugby. And you pointed out that we have been doing this for 170 episodes, the two of us. You've obviously been doing it since the beginning with Dan.
I'm not gonna lie, I was sitting in the break room at work writing that post, and I did not bother to check when your first episode was, so I threw out 170 as a completely random guess. But do you remember like roughly what your first episode was? So I feel like it's around 30.
Yeah, I think it's in that ballpark. The thing is that because this was when we only had just gotten started with the podcast and we were just recording audio, it's not listed in things like, so you can't go onto YouTube and find like our first episode because it's just not there. You have to go through Spotify and find it all. But I definitely remember it was before like the 50th episode and stuff like that, because I know that was an interview, those were all planned interviews and stuff. So
yeah, for some reason I feel like it was like when Dan Moore retired. I feel like that might have been it. It might have been the first episode that you were on, which I think is around 30. Yeah, man, it's been it's been a lot. I think I've only missed like two, maybe three. I don't think you've missed very many since you joined the show either.
Yeah,
like
so
or two. Dan's been slacking. He's missed like the last 140. Dan Murphy, the guy that created this podcast, he hasn't shown up in a while, so might have to get Dan back on for a little reunion. Maybe when we hit 300, we'll bring Dan back on. He can actually
So the episode that I joined was it's titled Strength Training, and it's from June of 2020.
What number? Does it say what number it is?
It does not. That's the thing. We get to, I think it's round about episode, it's not, I think it's like episode 60 or something is when we started actually numbering.
I went back and counted them. Yeah.
So 64 is the last one. So actually, no, I think there's like a few here and there that are numbered, but not all of them are. So I think episode 54. Which was one of our episodes with Jeff Hassler. So
yeah,
let me go back
to
that. But
fun, because that was just we planned to interview Jeff Hassler, and then we mentioned to him after our interview that we were like recording like another episode that was just like talking about the MLR games that happened on the weekend or whatever. And then he like immediately offered to like stay on the podcast episode. So we just ended up like hanging out with Jeff Hassler for like three to four hours or whatever. So that was a lot of fun, man. That's probably one of my favorite guest interviews that we've had. I don't, you got any like highlights that stick out over the
Oh,
last?
there's so many. I mean, obviously, our interviews with Bill Webb hold a special place in my heart. I think having Karen Packwee on the podcast was phenomenal to have a World Cup player and Olympian on
Yeah.
as well. And if there's anyone from the Canada women's program, whether it's 15s or 7s, we're more than willing to have you on and discuss your careers so far. But that also goes to Canadian men's 7s and 15s. But obviously, we understand your schedules may be a bit busy at the moment. We're more than willing to work around that. Yeah, I think, to be honest, there's just like so many great ones we've had. Like, I know we had Iroquois Roots Rugby on, and my connection was so bad that I don't actually show up in the episode
Yeah, I
at the
remember.
time.
That was actually a super fun episode, though. I really do actually. I mean, I know we had some technical difficulties on your end, but the content of the Iroquois Roots episode is really good. I think that's like 56 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's cool. It's awesome because they're like designing rugby jerseys and stuff now too. Like, it's cool to see.
Yeah, it's really cool. And there's also the our 100th episode was also an interview as well. That was with occasionally retired rugby player Jamie McKenzie.
Yeah, that was
Yeah, and I think as also as well we've had was it DTH Van der Merwe on as well. I thought that was a great one for us to have. Yeah, just there's so many people that have contributed to this podcast over like the past few years that just really like, yeah, go back, listen to any of the interviews. I know that we had, you know, Michael Smith, James O'Neill as well. And yeah, and we've,
that one time that we got Cole Keith on because Dan mentioned putting Giuseppe Dutoit on the wing.
that was, I'm gonna clear up. That was me.
Oh, that
That
was
was my
you. Oh, okay. Sorry, Dan.
mistake,
Sorry,
but we
Dan.
blame,
But
but
yeah, Dan's not here
I
to
allowed
defend
Cole to
himself.
think it was Dan.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine on my end.
Exactly. No, you know what? Dan's not here to defend himself. So, like, I'll just stick with Dan on that. But that ended up being kind of funny because Cole then came on a couple times. Especially during that, but his last time I think on was during that Atlanta season as well, which was a completely fascinating time trying to covering, you know, the covering a team that we could never actually see or really interact with, because they were in Atlanta the whole year, so it's like podcast went through that. And I mean, Dan created, Dan contacted me and create, I guess, with the idea in creating the podcast, like partway through the 2019 season. So we had like a sweet run where we started the podcast and the Arrows went on like a 7-0 run, which was, that was a little, that's a good way to start. Like, just immediate positivity, with how well the Arrows were playing and stuff. And it, yeah, it's been great, like, you know, crazy 5 years. I mean, we've had like Rumble came on, Pete Smith came on, like Curry Hitchborn has been on a couple times, so it was a fun guest. We've had like Brian Ray, Aaron Castro, Rugby Rant guys. There's James Dealey's been on a couple. Karen Gasparino, Doug Wilk. I'm trying to, this is gonna be bad. I feel
This
like
is,
I'm getting
I think we would spend an entire episode talking about everyone who's been on. I
been
think
on. I
it's,
know I'm gonna get into this trap of like forgetting the one person, and then that's gonna be
yeah,
bad.
so I will do the catch-all and say thank you to everyone who has been involved in our podcast, whether it's been contributing information, being a guest on the pod itself. Anyone that we've interviewed after Toronto Arrows games, we definitely appreciate it. Obviously, you know, this year we're unable to do so, but we're always looking for new ways to engage the rugby community and get Canadian rugby out there as best as we can. But yeah, as in like last year alone, we started with episode 150, interviewing Nick Benn, and we've had such great output that we're now at 200 episodes. And yeah, we're gonna keep going, keep supporting Canadian rugby wherever possible. And yeah, looking forward to the next 200, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, many thanks to everyone involved. But let's now get into the news, because there's been a lot of news since we last did one of these kinds of episodes. So let's crack on. And we're going to start with rugby calendar. And we're talking about the men's 15s, because according to America's Rugby News, the World Cup qualifying for 2027 is going to have quite the shakeup. So with the expansion to 24 teams, we know that 12 have already qualified. Those are South Africa, Japan, England, France, Ireland, Italy, Scotland, Wales, Australia, Fiji, New Zealand, Argentina. Basically, every
the same
team
teams
that
qualify for every one.
Actually, yeah, these are the same teams that qualified for the 2023 World Cup, and you know, with the odd change here and there, but these are the teams that have finished in the top three of their pools at the 2023 World Cup, and now there is an expansion of space for these four other teams. So how it is working is there is going to be the African qualifier, known as Africa One, the Asian qualifier, known as Asia One, four from Europe, Europe 1, 2, 3, and 4, one from South America, and three teams will qualify from the Pacific Nations Cup. Now, some of you may be doing some quick maths and going, hang on a second, four from Europe, three from the PNC, one from South America, one from Asia, and one from Africa. That's 10. There's still two more to go. Well, this is how it apparently is going to be working. So from the Pacific Nations Cup, you have Australia, sorry, not Australia, Fiji and Japan. They have already qualified. So we have the four remaining teams, of which Canada, Samoa, Tonga, and the USA are vying for those three spots. So whoever finishes bottom and gets Pacific Nations Cup 4, they will be facing South America 2. So that will be a playoff, and whoever wins that game will qualify for the Rugby World Cup. The loser will then enter the repechage, or the final qualification tournament, and that will be the loser of that playoff, Europe 5, South America 3, and Africa 2. So according to America's Rugby News, if we were doing this based on current rankings and historical records at the moment, these are the teams that are likely to qualify for the next Men's Rugby World Cup. Yeah. Representing Asia 1 would be Hong Kong, so it would be their first appearance at the tournament. For Europe, it is Georgia, Portugal, Spain, and Romania, although considering Spain's issues on qualifying for the past two World Cups, take that with a pinch of salt. Africa 1 is likely to continue as Namibia, and the sides that will qualify from the Pacific Nations Cup are likely to be Samoa, Tonga, and the USA. And South America 1 is likely to be Uruguay. That means that the South America 2 versus Pacific Nations Cup 4 would be a matchup between Chile and Canada. And yeah, Chile have only got one victory over Canada, but it was their most important victory at the time. And it does look like Los Condores would be the favorites for that match, which would mean that the repechage tournament would be between Canada, Brazil, Kenya, and most likely the Netherlands. Now, when you have that kind of lineup, that seems to more favor Canada, in my opinion. I mean,
in the repechage tournament?
In a repechage, a repechage tournament, I think obviously Canada's experience with Kenya only really comes from that 2019 repechage tournament. Brazil, there's been a few matches that are like Canada 15 and Brazil 15, but Canada still emerge the best. And Canada do have a current winning record against the Netherlands. So
I would hope so.
Yeah, so I mean, at the same time, if you're talking about having winning records, there was a winning record for Canada against Chile, and we all know how that turned out. Well, so
I mean, you could say that for basically. I mean, the new qualifying as presented by America's Rugby News is fascinating. It's a big talk. It's going to be a big talking point, right? It's interesting how the pathway has changed. I think it seems like it's pretty clear to me anyways that following the Beaumont Pichot World Rugby election, and how North and South America voted a little bit differently in that one, it seems like that caused a pretty big rift between North and South America as far as rugby and organized competitions within rugby is concerned.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
now we have this, like, the World Cup used to be all kind of like geographically pooled together for the qualifying. And I guess in a way it still is, but the geography that Canada is in is has now gone from the Americas to country that happens to border the Pacific Ocean,
Yeah.
which ties it in. Like, so I mean, like, so I mean, it's obviously an interesting format. The like Samoa, Tonga, USA, those are good teams. They're all ranked higher than Canada. Even right, they're all ranked higher than Canada, so that's not going to be an easy road. Chile's not going to be easy. If Chile gets upset too, like, there's, I mean, the whole wit thing that you just kind of ran down is basically just based on world rankings and stuff. And as they say, they don't play games on paper. But I don't know. Like, it's interesting how Canada's path, I think, has changed, right? Because, like, Samoa, Tonga, USA are, really good rugby nations and stuff. And also, they're going to have to play Japan and Fiji as or mix in possible games with Japan and Fiji based on that tournament that they're playing in, which is a little odd. So, like, you got to play two, like, really strong nations, and then, like, I mean, five really strong nations, really. But it's so it's kind of a you interesting path, but you still might run into Chile. Like, you still might run into, well, I guess Chile, Brazil, or Uruguay, whoever that team actually ends up being. And then, yeah, like, the repêchage tournament, as you're saying, is like, it's all teams Canada should beat, but, like, they shouldn't go to the repêchage tournament. Like,
I
don't
think,
go to the repêchage tournament. Like, get in before that. Like, because I think looking at the repêchage tournament and, like, qualify for the World Cup, no matter what, like, that's the end goal. But the thing, I think, what I don't want, what I'm like, I don't want to get, like, kind of trapped in, though, too, is, like, because the World Cup has expanded and it's going to give you, I guess really what, one extra shot as opposed to last year, to, like, make the World Cup. And I'm always really saying one extra shot as, like, the teams that lost in the repêchage tournament, a team like USA, for example. It's like, I guess based on this format, they would have technically one more shot to actually get in. But, like, if you get in on the repêchage tournament, like, I don't think you want to be sitting there being like, yeah, we qualified for the World Cup. I think that would be like, okay, we're still losing to all the teams that knocked us out of the World Cup last year, and the only reason we're here is because they added teams. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that element to it. I know that I've seen too that, like, some of the commentary around this article from America's Rugby News too is that it seems like certain countries may be getting a little bit of an easier path to the qualification. And I mean, I think that just comes back to, I mean, what we've said in very different contexts is multiple times on the podcast. It's like, you just, it doesn't really matter what the schedule is. You have to beat who World Rugby decides to put in front of you to get to the World Cup. Like, it doesn't, if it's Samoa, if it's Tonga, if it's the USA, hell, if it's Japan and Fiji, it's Chile, if it's Uruguay, if it's Brazil, if it's Kenya,
Whoever it is, that's who you got
whoever
to
it
beat.
is, it's that's the team, like, you have to beat them, right? And like, I think this will actually make for a very interesting qualification. But I think, like, in previous qualifiers, like the previous World Cup, where it's like, okay, you had a series against the USA and then a series against Chile, lost both of those and were eliminated. Having to play not only, like, Tonga and Samoa as part of your World Cup qualifying is going to be way, I think is harder in a way.
Yeah, I think
But you got
so.
to figure it out. You got to get it done. So,
I think one of the things to keep in mind as well is that for Canada to qualify like the first opportunity, it's very easy to say like, oh, beat the United States. It's also
You're
when it
right.
comes to Japan, is like you have to be good enough to beat, not beat Japan, but at the very just be better than the United States in terms of point difference, in terms of tries conceded and things like that. Because obviously when you say two of these teams have already qualified for the World Cup and four of them haven't, the two teams that have qualified don't need to put as much emphasis into the tournament. So for example, because the tournament takes place between August and September, any Fijian players that are based in Europe won't be available for release by their team because it falls under a certain in the Reg 9.
Sorry, Canada's not going to have any of the guys from Europe either, so it's not.
That as well, but that's also been the case for the past few years, so I'm not really surprised if that comes about.
Like,
But as in the same sense, like Fiji and Japan, from their perspective, it's like we've already qualified.
to be
We can
honest though, they
put.
would actually probably change that because they would probably make it the guys go or let the guys go because it's a World Cup qualifier.
Well, it also depends if they want to as well, because
Oh yeah,
from
no,
Fiji.
that's Canada's problem. I don't think that's
Yeah.
Fiji's problem.
But from Fiji and Japan's perspective, they may
I
say,
wouldn't be
like,
able to.
look, we've already qualified. We've got these guys in a high-performing environment in Europe at the moment.
That's
Why don't we
honestly.
bring in some young guys to give them
But
the taste of
I think
international
that's
experience?
honestly, that's to me is the weirdest part of this. Is like, why are Japan and Fiji here? Like, I know they're supposed to be part of the Pacific Nations Cup in any other year, but I feel
Yeah.
like if you're gonna, like, they shouldn't be involved. Like, they shouldn't be involved in a tournament that's they can impact World Cup qualifications when they've already been qualified. Like, they should have a tournament between, like, they should have a separate tournament between Canada, Samoa, Tonga, and the USA. Like,
Well,
that,
you can,
it's
I
like, it's
mean, you
kind of
can,
weird. Like that,
yeah.
because that would be like if Canada, that's like, I don't, well, maybe it's not the same thing, but it'd be weird if, like, I don't know, like Germany lost to England to miss out on the World Cup. Like, it's,
Well, I
you know what I mean? It
consider this
wouldn't.
is so this now this is the thing. So in the article it says that they want World Rugby want to have the qualifiers concluded by November of 2025.
Yeah.
So that could be that
That's next
now
year.
we haven't got any information on when the qualifiers technically begin. It could be that they are only doing it in 2025. It could be that they are using the 2024 and 2025 results to position them in the World Cup. But on your basis of teams involved in a tournament that have already qualified, potentially affecting it, when Georgia automatically qualified for 2019, there was the Rugby Europe Championship table. And then there was the European qualifying table, which was basically the same thing with the results from Georgia's games removed from
I
the
still think
equation.
that's silly though, because they still impact the qualification. Like, it's still like, I don't know. Like, I personally think that teams that are already qualified shouldn't be involved in tournaments that determine World Cup qualification. Like, let the Six Nations, like, even like it, like, let the Six Nations do their own thing, let the rugby championships and stuff do their own thing. But it's like, why are you having teams that have already qualified? Like,
Yeah, I think it's
like,
one
I
of
don't hear.
those
Okay, so
issues
listen,
that can be addressed at a later point, because.
you mentioned like Japan, like point difference. Like, if Canada loses, like, say, the third spot because Japan tuned them up by like 50, right? But USA only lost by 30. I would be like,
Yeah.
we just got eliminated from the World Cup by, or not that we got eliminated because there'd still be more chance, but like, you'd be like, we just lost because Japan beat us by more than they beat the USA. Like, that's, I think that's
Yeah,
kind of
I
goofy.
again, I think like when it comes down to it, we'll know well, for certain, yeah, because obviously we have that like fifth place playoff, and that can be the deciding factor instead of Fiji or Japan's influence. But you know, this is only the information we've had so far. We're obviously waiting for official word to come from World Rugby of how the qualification format will take place. But we will keep you up to date with all of that as we get privy to it. Now we're going to move on to news from the under 20 men's, because Christian Esterhuizen has been appointed the head coach of both Canada's U20 men's and of the Pacific Pride.
See,
and it is this, very.
This is exactly why I'm so happy you cut me off in that when we were talking about guests for the 200th episode, because we're literally bringing up somebody that I did not mention that came on the show, and now we have to talk about him because he made news this week. But yeah, Christian Esterhuizen, when the Vancouver Wave won the inaugural Coastal Cup, was also on our show, which was another fun thing. But see, now I was a bad one to forget, considering I knew we were talking about him.
Well, that's the thing. We just we already knew we were talking about him, so we can bring it up. And if anyone wants to listen to or watch that episode, it's episode 102 on all our platforms. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, he began the new role on Monday, the 11th of March, and he's working alongside Phil Mack. Phil Mack is the attack coach for the men's senior rugby team, and is also the technical lead for the Pacific Pride, having moved from head coach. What is the difference between technical lead and head coach? That is a great question to ask Phil Mack, but we will. But yeah, had quotes, you know, Christian brings a fresh energy, perspective, and passion allied with in-depth technical planning and preparation, and will add value to the Pacific Pride program and Canada's U20 men's rugby team. With Christian working alongside forwards coach Hubert Bidens and the leadership of Phil Mack, we have a strong technical balance that will drive the players to higher levels of understanding and competence. We're delighted to have Christian join our team in laying down the foundations of future success. And that is from Rugby Canada's High Performance Director, Stephen Aboud. And we also have quotes from Phil Mack saying Christian has a wealth of experience developing successful programs and players throughout his coaching career, and the work that he has done domestically speaks for itself. There is no doubt that Christian will bring a lot of energy and passion to the program. And that's from Phil Mack. So when Phil Mack was appointed as attack coach for Canada's senior men's, Derek, you mentioned that this is just like an internal hire, and it's keeping the same people in the system that that were there when the system was revealed to have all these faults. How do you feel now that Christian Esterhuizen has been appointed from an external role into this program?
Yeah, no, like I like it. I mean, he's like we said, it's like we did have him on the podcast because, you know, his team won the Coastal Cup, right? So he has had experience at some of the higher you know, had success and experience at the higher domestic levels within Canada, or higher domestic competitions, right? So, I mean, I think it's good. And yeah, ultimately, like, I still think, like, Rugby Canada does need to be bringing in new voices, new people to in these roles. So yeah, I like that they went to somebody that has worked in Canada, so like they understand, like, you know, the rugby community in Canada, in BC as well too, considering that's what the Pacific Pride play in the BC league, right? So like has a good understanding of that, of the rugby culture, the rugby scene happening down there. And like, yeah, like that's, I think that's the exact type of hire that I was kind of like saying I want them to make. Right, and not just constantly like recycling the guys that have worked for Rugby Canada, like in different positions and stuff earlier, right? You want to bring in new faces that come with new ideas, new ways of thinking, right? And I think this falls in that line. Obviously, this is the Pacific Pride. This is the development team. I would still like to see something similar happen with the national team, right? So, hopefully, I mean, I'm hopeful. Like, I like this hiring, and I'm hopeful that this is like a positive indication of like where they're kind of looking for coaches for the national team as well. And just in case nobody's going to go back and listen to that Phil Mack episode, to clarify, I did say that I do actually like Phil Mack being being the attack coach. But I was just, I'm just, I just at the moment was voicing concern about it.
Yeah,
it's like there's a lot of hiring happening of people that already work for Rugby Canada in and certain capacities, which does still kind of concern me that there has. But like, I think Esterhuizen's hiring, I think it is a good thing, and I think it's a sign that maybe they're in that direction with some of the roles that obviously they have to fill out the rest of the coaching staffs elsewhere. So we'll wait and see who those people are. And hopefully I'm as enthusiastic about those hirings in the future as I am this one. So I think it's a good move. Plus, I mean, guest of the podcast. So, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Can't go wrong. Probably
the most important role he's ever had.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't in Canadian wrong. Rugby. All right. We're going to move on to the women's sevens. There has been a, development tournament that took place between the Maple Leaf Academy, which is the women's sevens developmental squad, versus the USA women's sevens developmental squad. All results are available on rugby.ca. But the long and short of it is, of five games played over the weekend, it was Canada that won four of them, with the USA only winning one. So excellent news. Always good to beat our neighbors to the south. And also some news is that Jack Hanratty, the head coach of Canada's women's sevens team, will depart Rugby Canada following the Paris 2024 Olympics, and will be taking up a new role in 2025 as the head coach of the University of Ottawa GG's women's rugby team. You know, very stellar role as the head coach for the women's sevens, which includes things such as securing qualification to Paris, first of all, getting a silver at the 2023 Pan American Games, bronze at the Vancouver Sevens this year, and since his beginning of the role in a interim basis from October 2021, 22 players have made their international debut for Canada. So the announcement now, obviously preparing us for his final tournament later this year. And it does say Rugby Canada will continue preparing and succession planning for the next cycle, both of Canada women's and men's sevens teams. So obviously, that is a coaching appointment that we expect to be filled in time for the next season of the Sevens series. And now we're moving on to a new development that's come out of Eastern Canada, specifically the Eastern and Atlantic provinces, and that is the East Coast Rugby Championship. So this was announced only earlier today, and it is a competition with three teams in two conferences. And so in the East Conference, you will have the New Brunswick Spruce, the Nova Scotia Celtics, and the Newfoundland and Labrador Rock. And the Western Conference will have Rugby Quebec, the New England Under-23 Independents, and the Toronto Arrows Academy. So the Arrows remain by hook and by crook. That academy is still doing work behind the scenes. They've had recent coaching come through. They've still got training coming up with a Burlington Centaurs Rugby Club, Redeemer University, between March and April 11th. And they also have on their Instagram game schedule coming soon, as they are building towards the 2024 Coast to Coast Cup in Halifax in late June. Well, I guess this is clearly adding to the schedule. Unfortunately, there is no confirmed details of which matches take place and what the format is. It does say, however, that they will kick off in May, and the finalists from both conferences will compete in the final on June the 2nd in Montreal during the Super Rugby weekend. Now, That's also including the Quebec Ontario Rugby Championship, which is set to take place, or to kick off, I should say, this weekend with Quebec East and Quebec West, begin the first game in Quebec, obviously.
East or
And
West?
that final is on June the 1st. So the June weekend is set to be like, it's meant to be the place to be is Montreal, apparently, for all the rugby that's going on in Eastern and Atlantic Canada. But we shall see. Again, great announcement,
Yeah,
and
no, this
looking
is
forward to
awesome.
all the details coming out.
Yeah, this is awesome. I think one, or I could think a couple things, a couple points. One, I would love to know what's happening with the Arrows Academy because apparently they're still alive. And occasionally see like Jamie Cudmore like making a post about it. We got and yeah, like their social media accounts occasionally have a little something, and yeah, now they're announced to be a part of this. So cool to see, I guess, some sort of remnants of the Toronto Arrows still alive and kicking, able to carry on that name. And I think that alone is really cool. Second observation with this, New England is one step closer to just being a Canadian MLR team anyways, because yeah, they're New England Free Jacks are sending their academy team to a otherwise all Canadian tournament. So yeah, like New England is just like part of Canada at this point from a rugby perspective. So that's also kind of cool. But third, I think this is just a something that I feel is super needed right now in Canada. And just because New England's here too, I'll even throw in the United States as well with that, right? Like I think the MLR is obviously growing year after year, right? We're in the seventh season now. It's like it's getting bigger. It's getting better. Like even like watching the games now, it's like the level of competition is so much higher in MLR than it was, 7 years ago. But the part of the thing with that though is like there's going to be, I think, a lot of players that are going to have aspirations of playing pro rugby, but maybe just aren't quite ready for the MLR yet. And like if you don't want, I think it's like you don't want guys, and I think this is kind of like to what I think is like the next big kind of phase of like development that we kind of need in Canada is like if players aren't on an MLR team, you need to give them an elite level of competition to go to. Right. Which is why, like, I think announcing a tournament like this is awesome, right? Because that you need somewhere that's higher than club rugby, that's higher than like, university rugby or college rugby. And right, but I guess not quite as good as the MLR, right? For a lack of better term, I've been calling the idea of it like minor league rugby or whatever, but like you need something like that. And I think it's kind of crazy how like in Canada right now, it seems that with the Arrows folding, right, there's been like an influx of, and I know like there's the Vancouver Highlanders, I know formed before the Arrows folded, so they don't really count, right? So that it doesn't really count in this point, but it's like the Highlanders have now showed up, are showing up. The Atlantic Privateers are forming as well, right? And then you get like a competition like this that has one MLR Academy team in it and an MLR Academy team for a team that doesn't exist anymore. So you have like that high level. You're going to have players that are aspiring to get to a higher level, right? And I think that's great because I think the reality is as well is that especially for Canada, we're not going to be you can't rely on the MLR to develop players for the Canadian national team or for the USA national team for that matter. I think like we're gonna I think right now one of the storylines from the MLR is that in 2024 anyways, is that Graydon Bowd started at fly half for DC in the first game, hasn't played there since, and that's the
Yeah.
only North American fly half that has played a game in MLR this season at fly half, right? So, and I'm not faulting the MLR teams for doing it, but it has become, I think, over the last few years of MLR, it has become very clear that teams are going to use one of their import slots on an international fly half.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately means that even if there are guys in Major League Rugby that can play fly half, that are Canadian or American and can play fly half, they're not going to play fly half. So you need somewhere where guys can actually play fly half, for example,
Yeah.
right? Because it's like we're going to have to develop a fly half and not, because like even right now, like Graydon Bowd's what, 30 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's like 30, right? Like, how far, how much more international tests is he gonna have in him, right?
Yeah.
But so it's like we're gonna need a fly half from somewhere. So it's like you, I
Yeah.
think you need things like the East Coast Rugby Championship, the Vancouver Highlanders. We'll get to their schedule, which is also awesome, like in a few minutes here. But I think you're going to need these types of places to want to develop a fly half, but also to develop all the other players that can eventually go to MLR anyways, right? And because I think as the league gets more popular, as rugby grows, it's like you're gonna have, we're gonna, I think, slowly approach the time where we got more players than MLR teams are able to actually have, right? And you need those guys to, as one of the things that, like, I think Lucas Rumball talked about when we had him on a few episodes ago, was building depth for the, like, for the Canadian national team. And I think
Yeah.
this is a good way to do that, because it's like
Yeah, no, I agree.
you need to put the players that are in the MLR in high performance situations to help them develop.
Yeah,
Can't rely
absolutely.
just on the MLR. You got to do something in between it. So love the Highlanders, love the East Coast Rugby Championship, love the Atlantic Privateers, love anybody else that has an idea on how to get more players playing rugby at a high elite level and to try to make that work out. So like I think it's like I don't know, I'm a big fan of the East Coast Rugby Championship. We'll see how the tournament goes. I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll be paying attention to it when it comes around in May.
Yeah. And now we're moving on to Wheelchair Rugby Canada because they were taking part in the final qualification tournament held in New Zealand last week. And they reached the final, losing to Australia, basically a repeat performance of the World Cup that took place last year. But even though they got the silver medal, they did what they need to do. They were one of the top three teams in the tournament. And as a result, Canada will be returning to the Paralympics this summer, which will be taking place in Paris and being held between the 29th of August and the 2nd of September. So that tournament now will have the following eight countries: Canada, obviously, Australia, Germany, the United States, Japan, Denmark, Great Britain, and of course the hosts, France. So congratulations to everyone at Wheelchair Rugby Canada on making it to the Paralympics, and we'll be sure to support you in August and September. And now we move on to the Vancouver Highlanders and the big news that came out the day after we recorded was that
As is typical.
five of their 10 fixtures have been confirmed for this year. So on June 28th, they are starting off with a bang because not only are they playing the Canada Selects, they are also playing Barbados. It is a double bill, a double header. It is all to play for because there's all the rugby going on, apparently. Interesting to see how things will come along because obviously we have the signings, we have the reserve squad.
I was going to say, I think we just found out what the reserve squad was for.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, pretty much. Then a month later, on July 20th, they will be playing Germany. On August 3rd, a Brazil 15 will be playing, and on August 17th, Canada 15 will be playing the Vancouver Highlanders. We've also had some more signings for the main squad, which is Lenny Bondau, Griffin Phillipson, who is Irish-born but is Canadian eligible, and Hayden Mulgrew. And on the reserve squad, we have Theo Espanyol, Jacob Bourne, and Nathan Holm. And this past week, there was also the announcement that Paul Cellini is beginning his firefighting career with the YVR Fire and Rescue, and as such, he cannot commit to the schedule for the Highlanders and has had to depart. But as they said, once a Highlander, always a Highlander. And you know, it is going to be a shame that we're not going to see Paul Cellini take part in any of the Highlander games, but this is what Curry and Ralph were saying. You know, it's not only just growing your rugby education, it's being prepared to allow players to go and fulfill their careers as they see fit. So this is, you know, this is them sticking true to their word and allowing players the option to leave if needs be. So yeah, it's unfortunate not to see Paul, but obviously leaving for the right reasons. But that schedule so far, what do you make of it?
I didn't really know what to expect when they were, prior to them announcing it, but yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy good lineup. Germany, like just straight up Germany. Not even 15. It just said like the German national team. So that's really cool. Brazil 15. Also really cool. I wonder if that'll how strong that Brazil 15 is gonna be though, too, because that could be very interesting. Get a little look at Brazil coming up as well. Canada 15 will be fun too, because it's always kind of fun to see guys that all kind of want to compete to maybe get a little national team shot playing against each other. So I think like Canada Selects, Canada 15, those are really fun games. Barbados also, I guess that's also another alongside Germany, that's another national team. So that'll be super fun. That seems like. I mean, these are all really exciting games, I think, for like very different reasons. Kind of like the idea of doing a little double header and stuff too, like make rugby fun, have people come on out, spend a whole day, maybe hopefully turn it into like a little bit of a party and stuff too, a bit of a rugby festival vibe. This schedule is amazing. Like I don't even really have any like more thoughts on it. Just like, yeah, it's like opening an amazing gift that you weren't expecting, and you're just like, oh, like this is actually insanely awesome. But I never thought that this would be like, I thought they'd be like the Atlantic Privateers and stuff, which would also be cool. But I was thinking they'd all be like Canadian, maybe North American club teams and stuff. Or
I think
getting
that was
those
the
Germany and Brazil coming
general.
over too.
Yeah, I think that was the general impression is that, you know, there's this new team coming around, that open invitation for anyone, but obviously
Granted,
they're going to
that
be
might be.
based in Vancouver, so is there a limit on that? Clearly
No.
not,
I was gonna
but
say, like, granted, it's like other club teams in Canada and the United States. Maybe that might be the other five games that they haven't announced yet.
I know that
These are
when
pretty. These are
the
pretty big opponents, though, to just to drop on your first
I
announcement.
know that when the Atlantic Privateers announced their rebrand, they were talking about the Coast to Coast Cup and that the Vancouver Highlanders were involved in that, and as well as mentioning that they wanted or were in discussions to be part of the Rugby Players Challenge. Obviously, that hasn't been confirmed according to this announcement as of yet, but we will
This,
see.
I think this just adds to the excitement of who the other five teams could be, though.
Oh, absolutely. And something to keep in mind. So that Canada 15 game is on August 17th. And a week later, on August 25th, is when Canada played Japan. So it may be the opportunity for Canada to get a few new
Little
players.
test run. Well, I think that was going to be my other point too. It's nice to see like Rugby Canada also kind of, in the form of providing opposition, I guess, supporting the Highlanders and stuff too, right? Like it's nice to see that, like Hitchborn and McRae kind of, might have, are saying that, like, you know, their philosophy is maybe a little bit different than, you know, a lot of rugby clubs and, you know, high performance rugby that has been established. But it's cool to see like Rugby Canada being like, here's the selects, the 15, like a Canada 15 that can go and play the Highlanders and stuff. So, and also, I mean, like the roster that they've assembled to, like, even if they're down Paul Chiellini, which I mean, which, like, you know, good for him. Like, this is, I feel like this is exactly what the Highlanders said they wanted to do, right? Help guys
Yeah,
get jobs
exactly.
and give them opportunities to play rugby. So, like, you know, I feel like that's pretty much what they want to do. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I find every Highlanders announcement is just really exciting. It's a very, it seems like a very cool thing that they're doing over there. So I was like, I'm
Yeah.
excited to see, you know, how all
Yeah,
these
how it all
play
comes
out and
together,
how
yeah.
they're, you know, how the first Highlanders season goes, man. Like,
Yeah.
it's, that's, it's, I mean, it's honestly, it's great to see this and the East Coast Rugby Championship, man. Like, I think this is something that, like, Canada, like, really, really needs, like,
Yeah.
you know, right now. So it's cool to see these types of like initiatives starting. And, you know, you can't do anything but just wish everybody that's involved in these like nothing but success and hope it all
Yeah, I
goes.
hope it all comes to
Yeah.
fruition. Yeah.
Yeah. That
And
list of opponents is nuts, though. That is not what I
yeah,
expected.
that
That's
I
crazy. It's
incredibly
so good.
impressive. And yeah, I'm just hope well, hopefully get the announcement of the remaining five fixtures. And
Yeah.
yeah, I'm
Like,
hoping that
yeah.
the
Like,
Rugby Players Challenge is going to be an incredible first round.
the remaining five fixtures are going to be like the All Blacks,
And
South Africa.
yeah.
Yeah, like it'll be yeah, it'll be
Springbok 15,
Springbok 15. Yeah,
the Maori All Blacks, all them
the
fun one.
Barbarians.
Yeah, in a double header
In a
with the
double.
French Barbarians or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and again, just fantastic, and we're wishing everyone involved all the best. However, we did say that first fixture is June 28th. That is a bit of a way off, but if you are looking to watch any rugby this weekend, you can watch MLR games on the Rugby Network. You can watch the Premiership and the URC on Sportsnet. And you can watch the Women's Six Nations on DAZN. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out more, as well as our written pieces on our website, therougerugby.ca. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, S4P, and Apple Podcasts. We also have our YouTube channel at The Rouge Rugby. Make sure to like and subscribe and hit the bell notification to stay up to date with all our videos. We're also available across social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, all at The Rouge Rugby. Derek, where can the fine people find you?
At Preset the Jet across all social media platforms.
And you can find me across social media at Hardman, spelled HRDMAN. Well, that's where we're going to end this episode. Derek, thank you for joining me, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Rouge Rugby Podcast, where we talk about real Canadian rugby. We hope you can join us again next time.